This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Patrick Tucker, the technology editor of Defense One. And we go to what looks to me like a great twist of fate, wargaming with the AI-enabled China. Patrick, this is something that I didn't consider was needed. But when you're wargaming with AI, this is like the simple science fiction stories I enjoyed as an 11-year-old. What if a computer ran a war? And what if that computer decided that we were going to lose and it was going to win? Are we now wandering into that world of science fiction where AI is superior to our understanding of all of the conditions and we need to prepare for that?
Well, so what we are wandering into, and this is based on some conversations that I had with two top military commanders, General John Murray, who is the Army's Futures Command, and Lieutenant General Dennis Kroll, who is the Defense Department's basically top communications officer at the Joint Staff level. And what I asked them about was the effects of artificial intelligence on their expectations for future combat. And they both said the exact same thing. They said that, well, the main effect is that it accelerates your operations. It lets you do everything that you're already doing much faster. And that's why the United States has to harness this capability and really lead with it. And one aspect of that is linking together all of the different things on the battlefield in a large singular network. You need artificial intelligence then to really run all of those different ships and tanks and planes, drones, ground robots with missiles, et cetera. You need AI to let you run operations with all of those interconnected things much better. This is something that the United States is already moving towards. But we also know that both China and Russia are moving towards very similar future force structures where they're interconnecting all of their pieces on the battlefield, their tanks, their drones, their robot ground combat vehicles, et cetera, in one singular network that will be heavily run by AI decision aids. So you'll still have a commander, but that commander is going to be getting a lot of advice from decision aids that are artificially intelligent.
Patrick, just a moment. You said we'll still have a commander. That's the human in the chain. The science fiction stories didn't permit humans in. They were too slow-footed. Is that possible? Could the adversary move to shoot on command of the AI, no consultation needed?
That's something that U.S. Leaders are very concerned about, because while the U.S. has a strong preference for keeping a human being in the loop, or on the loop, rather, as they say, basically allowing some human being to have veto power over kinetic activity, their concern is that their adversaries, particularly China and Russia, will not, especially if it slows down the pace of operation. And this is why when I asked them, shouldn't the United States be begin to war game, begin to plan exercises, not against the China and Russia that we understand today, but the one that's going to exist in 5 or 10 years into the future. And they both agreed that it was far past time that the United States began to do that. And that is something that they're working towards and that they want to see more of. So today we have war games where we send out the tanks and the ships and the boats that we have against an adversary that represents a current contemporary threat. But what we don't do is really war game against an adversary that has advanced AI capabilities. And that's what they say we need to start doing to understand exactly those issues that you brought up. What happens when it becomes faster to your operation to remove that human from the loop? What happens? How do you defend against it? How do you adapt when that's what your adversary has chosen to do?
Finally, not offensive AI, but defense of the AI. You post an article that the Pentagon is suddenly worried about our AI is exposed, it's been compromised. How has it been compromised, if we imagine it has?
Well, so this speaks to a growing area of concern among top officials. It's called AI safety. And that refers to understanding the possibility that some aspect of what your very large machine learning program is doing is wrong, based probably on faulty data, but it could be some other error in there. When you consider how much just open source, easily available data goes into fueling how these AIs run, then you know, you have to consider the possibility, which is something that now the Defense Department is just beginning to do, but do so with great urgency, according to Kath Hicks, who is the Deputy Secretary of Defense, who I spoke to recently. You have to consider the possibility that the AI aids that you are using might be working off of data that has been intentionally corrupted by an adversary. There's more and more ways for that to happen. And when you speak about, you know, a machine learning aid that is, showing you advertisements on your phone, if it doesn't work precisely based on data that is bad, then the experience for the user is a slight annoyance. Maybe you saw an ad for something that you already purchased. That's just bad data resulting in a bad product from an AI engine. When you talk about that same issue in the context of combat, the stakes are much higher. And so as the Pentagon and other militaries work to integrate AI into what they're doing, this issue of AI safety is becoming more and more important. And so, yes, there needs to be, they believe, a lot of additional steps taken to really secure all of those components that go into AI, because, you know, we're used to talking about this stuff from the perspective of people that consume services that are put out by Silicon Valley. And they mess up all the time, and the data is sometimes bad, but we don't notice because it's a nuisance. And so now it's time to get much more serious about really securing the data integrity that fuels these AI programs.
Can we presume, we have less than a minute, Patrick, can we presume that this is an aspect of what the Kremlin is worried about, that their data sets have been manipulated or their pre-trained machines are corrupted? Is that their concern as well? We have 30 seconds.
Well, and I think that it probably would be if they were much more reliant on open source data. So the thing about China and Russia that you're seeing, the trend that's most important there is that they're closing themselves off their entire societies to outside data. But that's what we run on, is that that's what makes this engine go. So we're more vulnerable.
Patrick Tucker, the technology editor of Defense One. The future's already here, just not well organized, is the paraphrase. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.